Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by WordPress. Your customers want to find you. Build a WordPress.com website and help them connect with your business. Get 15% off any new plan purchase at WordPress.com/AllAboutAndroid. And by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter promo code AAA to save 20% off any order. And by LegalZoom, August is National Make a Will Month. Prepare for your family's future. Visit LegalZoom.com/prepare today for a free estate planning kit. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 330, recorded on Tuesday, August 14th, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I think I got that date wrong, actually. It's the 15th, not the 14th. We're in the future today. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
Hi, Ron Richards. And who are you?
I'm Florence Ion.
Hi, Florence Ion.
Hi.
And wait a minute, who are you? Oh, you're Victor. It's great to have you back, Victor. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Jason.
I'm sorry that we're throwing you to the wolves, but that's just how it goes sometimes on this show. How you doing, Ron? You were out last week.
I'm good. It's good to be back. Yeah, no,
I had ice cream.
I know.
I was eating ice cream. I'm glad that you guys saw that and saw what I was doing instead of doing the show. No, I had a friend in town for one night only, and unfortunately, I had a little bit of a conflict. So it was a night on the town of Manhattan. I was thinking about you guys all night, though. So,
well, you were missed. At the same time, I really enjoyed just kind of hanging with you and doing a show.
It was nice.
It was a fun show. I watched it. It was fun. You guys did a good job. I enjoyed it.
So. Right on. Well, we missed you, and it's good to have you back. And
it's good to be back.
It's especially today because I feel like our top news, when we get there, not quite yet, is something we've been waiting for a while. We're going to discuss the long-awaited arrival of Allo for desktop, Android O's Solar Eclipse, hands-on with the Asus Zenfone AR, also hands-on with the ZTE Z Max. Motorola has its gamepad mod finally releasing. A ton of your feedback. We're getting so much great feedback. We're going to cover a bunch of it and a whole lot more. Victor, when you drop by, I don't know if you know this already, but you have to spread some of your knowledge in what we throw to now, which is the news.
All of you better be listening, because it's Android news.
Okay, all right. You can miss the audio at the beginning. See, this is the part where we, like, critique you and make you feel horribly about...
We'll let it slide this time. We'll let it slide this
time.
That
was awesome, Victor.
Yeah.
Great job.
Thank you, Flo.
Thank you for that.
For reeling it in.
And you know what else I'm thankful for, ladies and gentlemen?
What?
I am very thankful for Allo on the desktop, because that's what happened today. And that's Jason and Ron and I have been talking all day through Allo.
We can't stop.
We can't stop talking now.
I know.
Now we can't stop talking because we can do it so quickly. And now I feel bad, like I was just bothering you all day. But all we were doing is we were sending links, and we were sending stickers, and we were making jokes, and I was using the AI.
You were sending the stickers. Let's be clear.
I was sending the stickers. It's true.
Jason and I were working, and you were sending stickers. So.
It's like, man, another sticker must be Flo.
I freelance for a living. I'm self-employed, so I can send stickers if I want to.
That's true. We should all aspire to send more stickers, to be completely honest.
I mean, I'm
honest.
Just saying. So if you are interested in using Allo and you're curious on getting started, first you have to actually download the app. So do that first, put it on your phone, and then go to allo.google.com/web, and then you'll see a barcode appear, and you will scan that barcode from the app on your smartphone, and it will instantly, bam, connect you to the browser. Now, I had to do this separately on my computer, so I had to do it one time for the Mac, one time for the Chromebook.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine any other computer I bring in, I'll have to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
This is essentially working exactly how WhatsApp works.
Okay.
So since WhatsApp is also tied to your phone number for your identity, when you go to the WhatsApp web client or I use the desktop client, you need to zap a QR code with your phone inside the app to say, yes, this is me, and I'm using it to authorize that computer. So Allo is following. It's literally the exact same experience.
And it's not actually taking data from Google servers, from what I understand, right? It's streaming this from your phone to the computer.
Hence the barcode.
Hence the barcode. Like, and hence the fact that if you, because I did this on two different phones, and what I realized, even though it was the same account, depending on the phone that I did, the conversations that were only on that phone came over. So it wasn't like a centralized database of all Allo conversations that you have. It's just the conversations from that device.
And again, that's exactly how WhatsApp works. It all is contained on the phone, and the phone needs to be on and connected to the internet in order for the desktop client to work. Same thing with Allo. It is so all the data is stored on your local device, and all you're doing is setting up a tunnel or a connection between the browser and the app on your phone. Nothing is stored on another server or anything like that, which is good from a security standpoint. But after playing with Allo, and we were chatting and doing our whole thing, I just stepped back. I said, It took a year for this. I don't want to be sad. I don't want to be the kind of guy who like kind of poo-poos on the present, yeah. Right? But it's like Allo literally has been out a year, right? It's been a year.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, it works. It's great, but there wasn't anything that blew me away that made me think this was worth waiting for a year.
Do you think the story around Allo would be different if this had been a launch feature?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. What do you think, Flo?
Well, I mean, it's only for Android right now. So there's still some work to do.
There is a limitation there for sure.
Which is going to bum a lot of those of you out there out because you have friends on iOS, for instance, and maybe you were thinking, oh, I would love to have another chat app to tell my iOS friend to download so that they can talk specifically to me.
Yeah, I would love to lure them away from iMessage.
I would love to lure them away from iMessage, which already does everything perfectly for them as iPhone users.
And there's probably no reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's Allo is continuing to have fatal failures that keep it from doing what they want it to do, which is to build a multi-platform, independent of what kind of operating system you have on, way to talk to your friends. And it's, you know, they roll it out on iOS and Android, but without a desktop client. And now they roll out the desktop client, but it's Android only. It should have rolled out all this at once. And then someone like me who's on WhatsApp, and I use WhatsApp to talk to my friends that are on iPhones. Like, we're all on a common platform and it just works. And I am not motivated to move them off of what, because that's what's got to happen. Is like, that's what everyone's saying in the chat room. What's the point of Allo? None of my friends use it. Nobody's using this app. They're only going to use it if you tell them you can only talk to me with Allo, right?
Right.
And I'm not going to do that unless I'm not going to make someone go to a new platform unless I'm 100% confident that that will solve all of my needs and their needs. Like, I'm not going to force somebody to use a poor product. So they just can't win with Allo.
Especially when you have not just one other person that you need to convince, but a bunch of people, lest ye be left out of a whole bunch of conversations, because not everybody's going to switch initially. It's like you have to create this momentum of everybody moving over, and that's not easy to do.
Especially moving over from Hangouts. So like if you were thinking, hey, maybe this will be a replacement for Hangouts, it is not a replacement for Hangouts. First of all, it's a messaging app. And Hangouts is a chat app. Do you see what I mean?
What is the difference?
The way I denote it is that a messaging app is you use it on your phone. It's just like it's very phone first in
Allo
that sense.
Is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it feels very phone first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even the desktop version is like tied to your
phone. Exactly.
Right?
Whereas Hangouts is very much like it's you can multitask, you can do IM, you can do video, you can do group chats very easily. It's a much more seamless user experience, and it doesn't seem just tied to like one person or one group of people. It's kind of this like global, you know, platform where everybody's got Hangouts. I mean, if you've got a Gmail, you've got a Hangouts window right in there.
Yeah, but I mean, as a user, at least as users who actually pay attention to this stuff, it's gotten very confusing and very, very muddy, right? Like, I've relied on Hangouts for years as the communication method that my wife and I, you know, communicate on. We try and avoid SMS. We're using Hangouts. For a while, Hangouts had SMS integrated, so that was really easy to do. I'm a Google Voice user, so it's still through Hangouts, but my wife is not, so she's in two separate apps. So it's kind of like, it's confusing from that perspective for me to pitch the reason why you switch away, yet at the same time, it's obvious that Google doesn't want you on Hangouts anymore because they're giving you the message that says, hey, we booted SMS out of here, so why don't you try out this other app? And now just the end user is just like, okay, well, what exactly do I do then? I've successfully moved my wife over to Allo, and we've started using it and had the conversation like a week ago. She was like, I'm still confused. Is this the new thing?
I sat down with my wife at the dining room table, and we had a very, very serious conversation about
Google
our messaging strategy.
Because this is what it's come
because
to.
Because it's come to. Like, couples have to discuss how are
right.
we going to talk
well,
on our phone.
Well, she was like, yeah, which is the place that I message to reach you? Which is the one? And I was like, well,
exactly.
Let's do Allo from now on because it's it's a better experience and
it is
whatever.
It's
Google's new thing and everything. And so she's on board, but she couldn't care less. She just wants to know that she can reach me.
Exactly. When she needs to absolutely get to you.
And what's great about that is that you have one person to worry about. Like I have now successfully moved my sister, my brother-in-law, my girlfriend, my niece, my mom, my dad, all onto WhatsApp. And I don't know if I have the emotional wherewithal to do that again.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely understand. And then out of nowhere, a couple of weeks ago, some friends that I had kind of lost touch with, even though they're really good friends of mine, when I stepped away from Facebook, I realized they were on WhatsApp. And so we created a room in WhatsApp, and now we're chatting all the time and everything. So
wow,
now,
that sounds way better than
now
Facebook.
I'm on WhatsApp, Allo, not Hangouts anymore, Messenger for other people. It's just, I mean, this is a greater conversation that we get into all the time, which is that messaging is a mess.
It's a total mess. And I mean, in addition to WhatsApp, I spend probably more time, I probably spend the most amount of time on WhatsApp, and SMS used to be the second one, but now Slack has moved into the second spot. And
that's
just a whole nother zone.
I have a personal Slack that I integrate with all of like the different work organization Slacks. And so I can just like hop between different, I can go from like social channel to work channel to this other work channel.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Oh, well, messaging's crazy. You know, what's also crazy is we're probably getting close to finding out what Android O is going to be named.
Do you know already, Ron?
I can't reveal anything. No. I signed an NDA. No, I'm kidding. But our good pal David Ruddick, friend of the show over at Android Police, is pretty certain that we're going to find out the name on August 21st. And for those of you playing at home, that's also the date of the solar eclipse.
Dang.
Yep. And he says, I'm not going to ruin the surprise of the name. It doesn't really matter. I feel like spoiling it actually is kind of a spoiler.
It is.
That's true.
Bless you, David.
But he says it also sounds like Google is planning some degree of spectacle around this. It won't just be a random, oh, hey, here's a statue thing, which is an odd choice of words, which is an odd choice of word today. But he means the Android statue and not a Civil War statue.
Oh, yes. But, thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, there you go. But so that's exciting. That's something to look forward to. So, you know, next week, you know, this time next week, we'll be talking about what the name of Android
is. And viewing
an
eclipse or attempting to view an eclipse in our backyards despite the light pollution.
This actually makes a heck of a lot of sense, right? When you think of solar eclipse and then you think of Android O.
It's in the shape of an O, right? Exactly.
So then
now here we are. If we're less than 1 week away, this is where the rubber meets the road, guys. Put your money down on what you think the name is going to be.
Oh, man. I'm doubling down on orange. I can't back away from orange. I really want it to be orange. Just orange.
Okay. All right. So,
I put that in there, Flo. What is your final answer?
Oatmeal cookie. Yeah, oatmeal cookie.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to do Oreo. I think that's too...
I think Oreo is too
brandy.
And too much with the trademark and all that other... Yeah,
they've mentioned it a million times. They usually don't end up actually picking the thing they mention in advance. Ron, what about you?
I'm torn between orange sherbet and oatmeal raisin cookie. I think I'm going to go with orange sherbet.
Okay, an orange sherbet. Okay. All right. Orange oatmeal cookie, orange sherbet. Bleak and Chad has Orangina. Sneakret has orange slice. Ooh. Orange slice.
All right, we'll see.
I could see that.
Wait. Icon. Or slice. Is slice a soft drink?
Orange,
yes, it is.
Orange.
Yep.
Is it? Or orange?
No, an orange slice, like a slice of orange, not the drink. Slice.
So. Not going to read that.
I like the person in the chat room who said it's going to be Oprah
or Onion Ring. We're reaching a little bit here. But anyway,
I would love if it was Oprah and there was some sort of like weird cross, you know, networking with the Oprah Network, and then it's just
and we get a video of Oprah going, "I love Android."
Exactly, like I love
you
bread.
Get a phone.
I love Android.
You get a phone and you get a phone.
It's so open.
O is for open. Okay. How about a little feature here then?
Yeah.
To kind of look forward to. Yeah. Android Nougat, you may remember, introduced seamless updates that used a two system partition setup on Android devices to split up the actual drive and the update drive. So it was basically a way to kind of load the system update in the background on a partition so that the next time you boot it super fast, update happens, it just moves it over. Well, what happens if you run out of space on your phone, out of free space?
You throw it at the wall. Sorry.
You get that message that says you can't do this, there's not enough space, and yeah, you throw it at the wall. That is the next step. That's exactly what you do. The system tries to use that user partition space as temp storage for the system update before moving it over in the other system partition, but it can't due to the limited space. That's what's happening there. Well, apparently Android O is upgrading the partitions out of, this is so nerdy, by the way, as far as a feature.
No, I love it. Keep going.
With a new feature called streaming updates, which is essentially where data is going to hit the offline storage partition directly from the internet. It's going to bypass the user storage entirely. So it's basically streaming bit by bit. It never even touches the user storage. So no matter how full your phone is, you're still going to get that update.
That's great.
You're not going to get that error message, and everyone hates error
messages. Oh my gosh, wait a minute. Does iOS do anything like this? Is this something that we get to like...
I don't think they do. I think, the number of people I know who have not upgraded their iOS because they don't have room on their device
exactly.
for the upgrade.
Exactly. Yeah. And they don't want to get rid of like the physical music files or whatever because, you know, the iPod legacy, right? Yeah. We don't have to do that. Ha ha ha.
Yeah. Let me know
that
you, iOS.
Those of us that are getting Android O, which will be like 3% of us by next spring.
Okay, but here's the downside. That is, if your OEM even implements this at all.
Exactly.
Pixel is still the only phone that utilizes seamless updates. So maybe that just means
that
Pixel is
it's
a feature of a Pixel phone.
Yeah.
Although it's part of the OS and OEMs have chosen not to implement it. They could have if they wanted to.
Now I wonder if it's because it's hard, because you have like all those different layers. I mean, you have like the Samsung stack on top of the Android stack on top of the Knox.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 on top of the carriers. Like it's probably. Just...
probably a piece of that.
Plus, like, carrier updates have to go through on their own or something.
Well, but this is only where are those updates stored on the phone to actually update the phone.
I was just thinking trying to think big picture about how just complicated it is to have a phone that's not, like, stock and unlocked.
Yeah. It is complicated.
It is very complicated.
Yeah.
I like that as a phrase, though. I want to make a t-shirt that says stocked and unlocked. that's a good phrase. I like that. Stocked and unlocked.
Yeah, all about Android store, official store. I mean.
Yeah, stocked and unlocked.
Nice.
All right. So speaking of stocked and unlocked, you know who's stocked and unlocked?
Who?
WordPress is.
Oh, yeah,
and we want to
that's true.
We want to thank them for supporting this episode of All About Android, which is brought to you by WordPress. And every day, millions of people go online to search for local businesses. Does your small business show up on those searches? When you create a website on WordPress.com, you make it easier for your customers to find you, connect with you, and hear how you can help them. Your business needs an online home. It needs a WordPress.com website. Just today, in fact, I searched for a business that I know exists to find their phone number, and they did not have a website. Actually, it was parked on a server. Not a good experience. Not good. You need a website. You need to be able to find it. You don't need prior experience. You don't need to hire someone to do it for you. WordPress.com guides you through the entire process. You can choose from hundreds of beautiful designs. You can boost your visibility with built-in search engine optimization and social sharing. And you can activate other WordPress plugins for the functionality your business needs. With a WordPress.com plan, expert support is there for you to help focus on what matters, growing your business. 28% of all websites run on WordPress. Let's take a moment and think about that. 28% of websites are on WordPress. Clearly, they're doing something right. So create your WordPress.com site, and you'll see why. You get started today with 15% off any new plan purchase. Go to WordPress.com/allaboutandroid to create your website and find the plan that's right for you. That's WordPress.com/allaboutandroid for 15% off your brand new website. And we thank WordPress for their support and keeping the internet running, keeping the websites moving. Thank you, WordPress.
Thanks for keeping the internet lights on, WordPress. Yeah. All right. We've got some hardware to check out in, well, hardware. That's what we do.
Hardwares. All my wares are hard.
Yeah, they are.
That's... Jeez. I wish we could undo that.
I was going to expand, but I'm not going to. Yeah, I'm going to show off a new phone.
Oh, are you this, playing?
I was kind of taking a quick look. So this is the Asus. It's kind of like GIF GIF. It's really however you want to pronounce it as far as I'm concerned. But the Asus Zenfone AR. This is the new Asus phone with Project Tango built in. So it has Project Tango capability hardware up here, capable hardware. It also has Daydream compatibility, so you can use this in Daydream Viewer. You cannot use them simultaneously, which I think is a place that they really need to get to with this, because then you've got awesome inside-out
tracking.
Before
Apple, please.
For VR. Yeah, preferably. They've been working on this for a while, yet Apple's going to come out with AR kit, and I just have a feeling it's going to blow this
out. I feel like we could have an entire show just comparing those two, but that's for another day.
That's for another day. So the Zenfone AR. So first of all, you know, Project Tango built in, right? It's got a tri-cam system is what they call it. A 23-megapixel rear-facing camera for high-res detail of everything that the camera sees. That's great. Also a motion tracking camera that uses a fisheye lens to kind of, you know, capture that motion and figure out its place in space. And then also a depth sensing camera using infrared projection for measuring distances and everything. So all that kind of works in tandem to kind of create maps of the room and then, you know, play neat games and show off neat elements and all that kind of stuff. Snapdragon 821 processor, 5.7-inch display. As far as the Project Tango phones are concerned, this is the first one that actually looks like a phone that you might actually want to have.
That you can very comfortably wield.
Yeah, I mean, it's really thin.
The Fab 2 Pro was not... It was really big.
It was huge. It was really clunky. You know, that works for some people. That definitely doesn't work.
It's fine
for
like a classroom setting. I could see those being like bought in bulk. Plus, I feel like they're pretty durable in comparison.
Yeah.
But this is a phone that you would wield on the day to day if you wanted that sort of functionality on the day to day.
Yeah, you got to be pretty convinced that you wanted day to day because it costs $599 for 64 gig storage, 6 gigs of RAM, So nice RAM.
Nice
amount of RAM you got there.
I think that RAM is stocked and unlocked, man. That's nice.
Super nice.
Nice RAM.
$699 for 128 gigs of storage and 8 gigs. Of memory. This is the 6 gig model is the one that I picked up. Verizon is the exclusive carrier partner in the US. So I got this yesterday. I haven't had a huge amount of time to really put it through its paces because, as y'all know, Tuesday is my busiest day of the week. So I was already tapped out. But I can show you just real quick just a few things that I was able to kind of check out here. This was the Gap app that they were showing off.
Yawn.
I know.
Sorry, not at you. Just the Gap. That Gap could have just done something way more dynamic with this show people. Let's show people what it does and why it's kind
so
of.
I'm hoping that it will actually give me the thing that. Oh, I'm under. Apparently, I'm under.
Yeah, you're under. So you're underneath the. So it's hard to do this up close.
This is really hard.
It's really hard to do up close because what it's doing is it's giving him a mannequin that's in the size that he chose, and the mannequin is full size so that he can like. Walk around it and see how, you know, how the shirt like pleats or whatever.
Yeah, I wish I could show you other than this sock and these pants. If you look right now, you can see the sock and the pants.
That's
so if I was to look up, you can imagine what I would see if I looked straight up.
You would see a mannequin.
I would see a mannequin standing basically right over the top of me. Let's see if I can get this on a different.
Could you do a scarf?
There's just no way to do this because the tabletop is right here. And that's what you do. You aim it at a tabletop. And then you place on top of that. If I have the floor.
Oh, you don't have to do it on the Yeah, you can do this on the floor because it's supposed to be a full-size mannequin.
Yeah,
which is, by the way, me seeing a virtual mannequin Gap, not going to help me buy anything. That's not how like people's bodies work. Everybody's body is very different.
Okay.
I was hoping something more like the Amazon Echo Show.
So do you see that?
Maybe a little bit. I'm trying to.
It's so creepy. It's just some legs.
So you can see you standing on the edge of the table. I know this is really hard to show with these camera angles, but just trust me. There's a guy lurking over me on the table right now, and he's wearing some khakis. And let me tell you, those khakis are definitely loose at the ankle. That's all I'm going to say about those khakis. They're pretty fancy. I'm going to purchase them, size 32.
Really? You're going to purchase them?
No, I'm not going to purchase them.
Because, again, that mannequin is not your height. So how do you know if you're going to fit into those pants? You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is not a good application for this.
Measure was pre-installed. Pretty much the first thing I did when I was playing around with it is that I pulled up
Measure. Measure my finger.
Okay, so let's see if I can measure your finger. So I'll go, and I'll place a point, and then...
There you go.
Then I'll go there.
That's weird. That's weird.
Strange. It is strange.
And it says 4 inches.
My finger is 4 inches. My index finger.
Index finger is four inches. It tells me that, and I trust it.
It probably is
4 inches. Jeez.
I'm gonna go ahead and erase that.
This is just getting weirder and weirder, man.
This is the promise of augmented reality.
Yeah, I mean,
Ron. Slingshot Island.
Oh so yeah, this is really good. But this is like, so I've played this on the Fab 2 Pro, and this is kind of like. It's kind of like cut the rope in the sense that you have to do the journey,
it's a lot like actually it's similar to Angry Birds because so I'm gonna place my island right there, and I wish I could show you all this stuff. It's really hard to show with fixed cameras, but there's an island right there, and on top of it is building that I can essentially pull back my slingshot. I'll go ahead and confirm that,
catapult it,
and you play through the levels and use the slingshot to kind of knock down the thing, which I can't really show you very well. Burke's scrambling right now. I don't know if he's going to get there in time. But anyways, I'm going to let talk while Burke does something because I really want to be able to show this. It's just really hard.
What else do you have on there, Jason?
Let's see here. Hot Wheels track builder.
Oh, Hot Wheels. That's a fun one for kids.
Move your device around to look at the virtual Hot Wheels studio.
And then you can start building the tracks like you did when you were a kid. Did you have the orange car track?
Oh, those are the best. Those are the best.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
So
and this is the virtual version of it.
Okay. I'm trying to. Okay. There we go.
There's a Barbie one too, BT Dubs.
I see. I'm going through the demo thing. Move your body around while stepping.
This is a lot of moving.
As I move, the perspective of me goes forward and backwards. And that's kind of the promise of Tango, right? Is that it's not just tracking how you're tilting with the gyroscope inside. It's actually detecting your position in space and moving forward and backward and scaling everything around that. So it does actually some really cool things.
And for our audio listeners, Jason is trying to hold the phone so that we can see the depth perception change and all that stuff. So
yeah, and I mean it's really I'm taking it out of the view because I'm in a demo mode right now where it's like do this okay. Now I've got
there we go, now you can see like the start. Cool. There's little orange tracks.
I can go closer to it. I can go further away. Everything. So, yeah, and eventually I can, set up tracks with cars. And
this is for, like, kids to really crawl around the floor with.
Aim and zoom at 6 objects. Okay, so I'm totally in the demo right now. Anyways, probably not the most exciting demo in the world, but that is to say that I only just got this. I've only just started playing around with the AR capabilities of it with Project Tango. I don't think there's much more than, like, 35 Tango apps in the Play Store right now. There's very few. So for someone to plunk down $600 to $700 for a Project Tango device, like, don't get your hopes up on content. You got to have a lot of faith that this ecosystem is going
to
build up.
I want to know what your daughters think. So when you get back from letting them play with it, tell us, like, you can relate us what they think. Because I'm very curious to see, like, what kids think about this technology. Because I got to see all of the education initiatives that they were doing, like, all the different demos that I've seen of Tango. Mm-hmm. But I've never actually seen kids use it. Mm-hmm. It's only been us adults. I want to see how the kids get into it.
Yeah, I would like to play around with it a little bit. One thing that was really cool the first time I turned this on and launched the Tango app specifically, it pulled up. I don't know. Actually, maybe I can pull that up here real quick, and then we can move on. Let's see here. So the Tango app, I will experience. Oh, it's giving me just a list of a bunch of different apps that I could do. No, it's not on here. Basically, it would do the thing. I don't know if you've seen the video where it actually scans in real time in like a dot matrix sort of way. Almost like the Matrix, actually.
Yes.
The surroundings, so it could see that the table was here and that it fell off at the end and everything behind it. And it kind of scans it in real time, and then eventually it comes to view, and it's like this scene out of like a mystical, with unicorns jumping around or whatever. But it's just kind of interesting to see your real world environment suddenly get transformed into a virtual environment, and that table becomes a grassy knoll or whatever.
Is that like the episode of The Simpsons where Lisa grows a little village in the petri dish?
Yes. Yes, sort of like that.
I've been binge watching The Simpsons, by the way. So those references are very fresh in my mind right now.
Working from home.
It's true.
Working. Anyway, so yeah, Asus Zenfone AR. I believe I'm going to have a full review of this, not this weekend, but next weekend on the new Screensavers. And I'm sure I'm going to be using it, and you know, I can talk a little bit more about it next week to see on this show to see kind of how it's settled.
I want to know what some kids think.
Okay.
Find some kids.
I'll see you. Find some kids. That should be easy. I have two of my own. And I'm sure my older daughter could probably. Really.
I want to know what she thinks about the Gap app, and I bet that she would agree with me and say, how is this supposed to help me shop for pants?
It's true. It's true. There's no way in the Gap app to tell it, like, what, how, like, have it scaled based on you.
So, yeah, like, exactly.
You can select the size and everything. I want to tell it, like, I'm freakishly tall. What long sleeve shirts actually are going to fit me?
I want that to be a slider. I want that to be like, unfortunately short, average height, freakishly tall. You know?
That's what I need. That's useful for me.
You'd be almost at the spectrum of freakishly tall, because remember, there's basketball players who are way taller than you.
There are, but they're not shopping at the Gap.
That's true.
And neither am I, to be honest, because I've tried that and it doesn't work for me.
Well, khakis aren't really... I don't think you're a khaki man anyway, Jason.
No?
No.
Okay.
Which is a good thing.
I won't wear khakis to work.
You never do. Thank goodness. Well, not as exciting as... While not as exciting as an augmented reality and virtual reality enabled phone, it is exciting for those of you who often find that your phone dies in the middle of the day because... This is the ZTE Blade Z Max. It is an exclusive at Metro PCS for now. It is only $130, which is insane in the membrane, right? Because who knows phones for that cheap?
Yeah.
But the kicker is it's got a 4,080 milliamp hours, whatever, battery life. And just so you know, I charged this thing fully on Thursday, when I had written about it last week. I left it for the weekend to go enjoy my life, and I came back to it today, and I have 53% battery.
Wow.
And so it's just been hanging out waiting for you?
It's been sitting on my desk. I've got 53% battery right here. Let's just make sure. Okay, we're good. 53% battery right here.
Wow, okay.
So, and also, so did I put a fingerprint on this? Yes, I did. Okay, the fingerprint's on the back for this one, by the way, which is nice. Since the Metro Zone, we're not going to the Metro Zone.
So does it pop up full screen ads every once in a while?
I need to set some stuff up with Metro PCS. I haven't done that yet. For a bunch of reasons. But yeah, it does have preloaded Metro stuff, which is fine. It is a $130 phone.
Yeah.
This is a 1080p screen, which is kind of great.
Huge screen.
Or it's full HD. So it's huge. It's 6 inches. So remember when phones were this big? I mean, the last one that was this big was the Nexus 6.
Mm-hmm.
And this reminds me a lot of the Nexus 6.
Oh, and it's got the wide kind of quality to it
even
as well. Yeah.
I mean, look how wide it is, first of all. Look at this back. So this is it's nice and soft. It's not that grippy, but it keeps it from sliding off, because when you put this face down, this is going to just completely slide off the table. Just like the Honor 9.
Yes.
It's just, and it's actually kind of hard to hold with your ears too, uh-huh. because if you're wearing, you know.
Oh man, who does that with their cell phone though? I feel like that's a recipe for disaster
all
the time.
I was trying to do that yesterday. I was trying to pour a beer into my glass while talking on the phone with my friend.
You know, Ron, working. Working.
I do know.
7 o'clock at night.
I've been there.
After hours. Okay.
Not day drinking.
All right.
Not that bad.
There's nothing wrong with it. Not that there's anything wrong with
it. Well,
that.
if I ever do. Anyway, yeah, fingerprint sensor on the back. And so I, maybe because, see, that's how quick it was. So, you know, okay. It's a kind of stockish Android. Like, you'll see some changes in the interface. So when you go to the settings menu, you'll see some extra things in there. But guys, this is 7.1.1.
Nice.
So, which is really nice. It's got the latest Android security patch. This is an updated phone. This is kind of a preview of what ZTE's thinking about for its mid-range lineup. I'm going to hand this over to Jason. On the back, it's got a 16-megapixel RGB camera plus a 2-megapixel monochrome camera. So it does kind of the fun little portrait shots that you can do with some of the other dual-camera phones out there. It's only $130.
$130 for a dual camera setup and 4,000.
You know, 4,000 milliamp battery. It hasn't done anything. It's just been on.
Okay, so
it's got a lot of like little camera modes bundled in there. You know how? Actually, no. I'm sorry, I mixed that up with the Honor 9 that I was playing with today. It actually has a couple of camera modes, so you don't have to get super like. You won't get super inundated with all these different features on there. There are apps on there for MetroPCS, as I mentioned. But there's a full 20 gigabytes of space on there out of the box, out of 32 gigs that's on board, as well as an expansion slot. So you can pop in up to 128 extra gigabytes, I believe. It was 128 or 200. I think it's 128 is what I had written.
So I just did the Bokeh.
Oh, the Bokeh is really... It's really fake.
the dual screen setup for the Bokeh, opens up the door for it to happen. But you can see the edges of my monitor screen are all sorts of blurred out.
It's a very faux. It's kind of like going into Photoshop and going with the brush. But you know what? They tried.
But that's usually what these dual camera Bokehs are actually doing. They're using the sensors. The two sensors to determine what's foreground and background, and then blurring the background somewhat.
But it's such an intense blur.
Yeah, it's a really overwhelmingly intense blur, I would agree. And actually, in the case of the laptop, it's blurring out the frame of the laptop, mm-hmm. not what's behind the laptop.
But that just shows you how it processes. Yeah. And when you do this with a plant photo or out in the garden, and actually you can see an example of this in my hands-on on Android Central, it looks very, like, very, very blurry around. Mm-hmm. The edges. So, but you know, and the portrait mode actually shoots a little differently than the Bokeh mode, just FYI. So you will get a subtler, softness.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
I just saw it totally snap into place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take a photo to refocus and then select the blur mm-hmm. level.
You can select the different apertures on the bottom. The different f-stops, rather.
So basically, so this is like blur mode. So you can see the background... just came into
that's how you do like the portrait mode,
right? Oh, interesting. Okay, hey, well, having it's better than not having it,
and it's $130.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's $130.
That's not bad.
I kind of want to, I don't know,
it's a good budget option.
Maybe I'm gonna use, I really like that it's big.
Yeah,
I really like that it's big.
Got a lot going for it, I gotta say.
I miss some big phones.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a ZTE Blade Z Max. $130 at MetroPCS, on sale August 28th, but you can pre-order it starting tomorrow, actually, August 15th.
Cool. Ron, are you going to be pre-ordering the Essential when it happens?
I don't know, maybe. There's a lot of buzz on Essential is heating up.
Yeah.
As we're getting close to ship day, as Andy Rubin has promised. But actually, recently, a lot of people were reacting to the fact that a Bloomberg report now values Essential at $1.2 billion without even a single phone on the market to date or having shipped a phone yet, which is a pretty amazing accomplishment that has now achieved unicorn status without shipping a phone. And a lot of people reading into this, you got to take into account the announcement, the IP, what they're doing, the carrier deal, you know, like valuations are based off of what people are willing to invest in them. You know, like they want to invest a certain amount of money based off the company being valued at X amount of dollars. So, you know, and companies are only worth what people are willing to pay for them. So take this with a bit of a grain of salt, but either way, Essential is making a big splash on coming out. And so much so that, you know, we're so on the eve of this that Essential sent out invites for a first look event in Palo Alto at the Playground headquarters this coming Friday. And Playground Global is Playground Global, right? Or is it just Playground? I forget. But Andy Rubin's VC incubator kind of, you know, kind of company. Really nice office space. I've been there down in Palo Alto. Very cool spot. So they're doing a first look event where people get their hands on the Essential phones on Friday. And then they're doing another event next Monday in New York City, and guess who will be attending that event?
Ron will.
Who?
Lil O' Me.
You?
Will be attending the Essential event on Monday. So 1 week from today, not only will we be talking about what Android O is named, but I will have held the Essential phone in my hand and can report back on it. So stay tuned. There's a teaser for you.
Oh, heck yeah. I can't wait to hear what you think. We're also having Chris Lacey on next week's episode. So cool. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts to share on that. Cool. So you're going to get
What do you think of this valuation news, though? Do you think it's BS or?
Well, I don't know. It's always kind of funny to hear that companies valued at
the mines.
What's that?
Sorry, I totally interrupted you.
No. What were you going to say?
I did, but I was going to say, to be fair, like the mines have all come together for this. I mean, I think that's what's being valued at this point.
I suppose
so. And the IP,
as
Ron said.
Yeah. No pressure at all.
I mean, I'm just assuming it's like the salaries of all these people combined, which are like the Bay Area. It's very possible.
Sadly, it's not the salaries. It is math calculated based off of the amount that's been invested times the perceived market value and the impact it will have. Yeah, the impact it will have. Now, if they don't sell a phone, they're going to have problems. But, you know.
But even they have said they don't. It doesn't matter as much selling a huge amount of these phones at first. They have a longer term strategy to scale up over time, and maybe that's what's part of this is that they aren't completely hinged around the success of this first phone. You know, they have planned for this phone to be a little bit slower, and the next phone to be a little bit more popular.
So slow. So it took more than 30 days.
Yes. Pretty slow, actually, because we're not at the end of the summer, but we're a lot later than they said we should see it. So, whatever. Yeah. Hardware is hard. And there you go.
Well, we'll see. Well, I'll have hands on. I can report back. Very excited that's occurring. So
nice. Yep. Awesome. I can't wait to hear that.
Ignoring the fact that the last hands-on event in New York City I went to was for the Echo, we're just going to ignore that and hope that Essential fares better.
Chalk that up to experience. It's prepared you for the Essential event.
Plus, you know, it sounds like they're just having it at some offices and not, you know, blowing a bunch of money on the Palace of Fine Arts.
Yeah. That's true. No Broadway show for you.
No, don't do Broadway shows until maybe you're like...
Anyway, all right.
Motorola announced that its gamepad mod for the Moto Z phones is coming August 25th, $79.99. That's the price that we're going to get for this Moto mod. I think it's one of the more interesting Moto mods that I've seen. But it's coming exclusively to Verizon, which I find kind of interesting that Verizon
is
going to
be red?
Exclusive on. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, but... They have a big logo on the front.
Is it interesting that they have the exclusive?
I don't know. It's a Moto mod. They have the exclusive on phones, but like phone accessories?
But the Moto mod... Now, okay, so I need you guys to actually remind me because I didn't look this up, but is the Moto mod backwards compatible with the other Motos?
Oh, that's a good question. I believe that they are.
So if they are, we have to think about the fact that Moto Z was a really big, like, free phone that they were, or cheap phone that they were pushing on a lot of Verizon customers. And so this is a way to upsell the existing Verizon customers on accessories. That's how Verizon makes money. It makes sense in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Exclusivity obviously kind of sucks, but I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it's exclusivity for the purchase, though. There, you know, obviously, it's not carrier locked, so you could buy this if you have it on another.
You can go to Verizon's a big red store and buy it.
It's just interesting. Like, if you're Motorola and you want your mod thing to take off, why the exclusive?
Carriers
like, get it
are
everywhere.
New accessory sellers. Brick and mortars don't really exist as much anymore, except for the carrier kiosks and Best Buy.
Fair point. The controller also includes a 1,035 milliamp hour battery, so. Little bit of something extra. Maybe that's to make sure that the controller doesn't crap out.
So I got one of these, by the way. I haven't set it up yet. The Z2 Force.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you going to get the controller?
I'm going to try and get it because I'm very curious.
I think that's the one to get.
Very curious.
Excellent. All right. Well, we have a ton of your email that we're going to get to. But before we do that, let's thank the sponsor of today's episode, and that is Tracker. There is a ritual. I know I've experienced it. I'm sure we all have. You're looking for your keys, but you can't find them. You check all the obvious places. You check your couch, of course, because it always falls in the couch cushions. Not there. Kitchen pockets. Be funny if it was in the pockets, but it's not. Then the weird places, the bathroom, the fridge, the hamper. Then you start getting really creative. Did it end up on the top of the roof? Did it fall into the peanut butter jar? I don't know. 8 years ago, Tracker changed everything when they released the first tracking device, their first tracking device. And now they've done it again with the all-new Tracker Pixel. With Tracker Pixel, you'll never worry about losing your things again. Tracker Pixel is the lightest Bluetooth tracking device on the market. You place Tracker Pixel on whatever you tend to lose, in this place keys, but also, you know, wallets, even your cat, really anything that you lose. And it's small enough to fit on all of your items, even the smallest ones that you have. And when you misplace an item that has a Tracker Pixel attached, you use your smartphone and a 90 decibel alert is going to sound out. It's going to help you find it in seconds. It also has a powerful LED light so you can find your items in the dark. If you happen to lose your phone, it works in the opposite direction. You just press the button on the Tracker Pixel and your phone's going to ring even if it's on silent. You can even locate your item if it happens to be miles away, because every Tracker user is part of the largest crowd locate network in the world. And Tracker's 30-day money-back guarantee means you truly have nothing to lose. Go to thetracker.com right now and enter promo code AAA. You'll save 20% off any order. That's thetracker.com. Promo code AAA for 20% off. And we thank Tracker for their support, their continued support of All About Android and the TWiT Network. All right, email time. Flo, you got the first one.
Yeah. So... I guess two episodes ago, since this is episode 330, I asked a couple of you to maybe send in pictures if you had anything. It was kind of, you know, off the cuff, but I am very happy to see that Dan, who loves the show, which is why he submitted this, so I appreciate you, Dan. He is sharing his living room Android display with us. They are all still fully functional and fun to play around with every so often just to see how far Android has come. And what we see here pictured... what is pictured is in the back row, we have an original Motorola Droid, a Motorola Droid X, a Samsung Galaxy Tab. Oh boy, I remember that one. The Samsung Droid Charge and the Motorola Backflip. In the front row, we have a Samsung Infuse, an LG G3, which a lot of people still are using, I see on the street, a Motorola Nexus 6, a Samsung Galaxy Nexus, and an HTC Inspire. Also, what he has, which is not pictured, is the Nexus 6P, which he says is what he took pictures with. And the side note is the Nexus 6 is the only phone he's ever broken roughly from a roughly 2 foot fall into a hardwood floor.
Okay, I know that feel.
Wow.
My Nexus 6 took a nasty spill and it broke, but it was a lot further than that. And it was
That's
on
actually
a
when I first met you, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That was my first show here, and Jason had... dropped his Nexus 6, and I was like, oh, so that's who Jason and Ron are.
They dropped their phones.
We're so baller that we just drop phones onto the pavement and just to see what would happen, right?
That's totally what it was. I was like, I don't even care about you, phone. Whatever. I've got others.
So before we move on to the next one, Flo, Dan had a nice little postscript there to his email. He did. I don't know if you want to share it with everyone.
I am going to share it. And he also says, P.S., thanks, Ron, for not triggering my Android Auto and my commute anymore.
Now, I don't understand why I got singled out in there. Because first off, number one, I take no responsibility for triggering your Android Auto, nor do I take any responsibility for no longer triggering your Android Auto. I can't be the only one who would say OKG from time to time. It wasn't just me.
No, it was just Ron. It was actually just Ron, Dan. So
I've been doing Amazon's. I've been accidentally triggering people's Amazon's.
Well, because
that
I'll
speak
harder.
To the Amazon one, who shall not be named, by first name.
Well, that one's a challenge. Which is an interesting That's the name of the technology.
It's also an interesting psychology into just like how I feel like this Amazon thing is on a
But no, can I just say how much of a personal pet peeve it is that the Amazon Echo interface is not Echo, that it's another word that we're not going to say because we want to trigger it, but like, and the fact that that word is something complete, is another product that Amazon owns that has nothing to do with what it does, drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, especially for us, us lowly podcasters.
Yeah.
We're lowly?
I don't know.
Lowly? Just, I don't know about that.
Jeez.
All right. On to the next email. Patrick wrote in and says, am I the only one wondering if Google is going to devote a software team to the end user experience on the Pixel? I think you might be. Patrick goes on to say they have a great piece of hardware with a killer camera, a simple launcher designed around the assistant, some touch latency tweaks that seem to have disappeared over time, and not much else. I have my brother in my ear reminding me of all the things I used to love about my Moto X, and he twists the knife a bit further by letting me know all the things he's enjoyed since then on the Z and now the Z2. I gotta admit, he has me listening. It also doesn't help that I have an OnePlus 5 sitting next to me with its features and was on the OnePlus 1 before I got my Pixel XL. So I have to wonder, is Google going to go all in with the Pixel? Are they going to keep towing the line of not stepping on the toes of the other OEMs and their skins and overlays? I don't think it's too much to ask that Google does a bit more to make up for the constant state of beta that Android is in for its hardware users. And shout out to the team behind the camera software. Without you guys and gal, not a typo, I wouldn't be on the Pixel train. So a little criticism and a little love. I like that. It's the balance that Patrick provides. But what do you guys think? I like the what he's criticizing is why I like the phones that Google puts out, the Nexus and now the Pixel. You know, like I don't necessarily want, you know, more UI. Like I want stock stripped down.
Yeah.
The reason why I don't like Samsung and I didn't like HTC and I didn't like all the ones like that is because of the stuff they would put on top of Android. I just want plain Android.
You know, I'm realizing, thankfully, that the two, this email and the next one, are next to each other because they actually tie into each other from opposite perspectives. And I think that's probably the answer, is that some people really are looking for flashy whiz-bang features and other people want just a more direct experience, maybe. Mike wrote in, and this is kind of a different perspective on this. He says, the day I have to replace my current phone will be upon me. Before I know it, I have an Nexus 6P, so I'm okay for a little while longer, but that doesn't stop me from looking for potential replacements. The problem is there's nothing out or projected that really excites me. I love pure Android, but now that Nexus is gone, I don't know what to get. Pixel is just boring. I don't want an iPhone lookalike. Samsung is out of the question, mainly because I'd spend half the day replacing, disabling the crap apps they force on me. LG doesn't have anything special. HTC, I have no interest in squeezing my phone. And a little tip there. Didn't we see news earlier that probably the next Pixel phone is going to have a squeezable side? So there you go. Huawei, don't like the UI. I completely agree. Sony, people still buy their phones? Ouch.
I actually have no idea. That's
wait. Sony, people can buy their phones? Because I don't know where to get them.
Where do people get these phones? Motorola doesn't do security updates and mods aren't worth it. My ideal phone runs pure Android and has all the specs you'd imagine from a flagship. I don't care about stuff like bezel-less, although it does look good. Second screens, LG, or any gimmicks. I loved my 4.5-inch Moto X 2013, but I know that size isn't a thing anymore, so I'll take the smallest screen feasible. 5.5 inches? Is that it? Maybe I'm just being too stubborn.
Mike, get a Galaxy S8 unlocked.
No.
Why not?
No, because all the crap is still in there.
It just has a couple of Samsung things which aren't that bad.
It's S Life and it's the Samsung ecosystem
it's
and
S
all that
life.
Crap. And Park Life and Bixby and all that stuff. Like you don't like I agree with Mike. I think Mike is he says maybe I'm being a little too stubborn. He might be a little too jaded, perhaps.
Yeah.
I think the Pixel is as close to what he wants to get. But honestly, Mike, you know, maybe you should look at Essential, because Essential seems to – I mean, I know he says he doesn't care about stuff like bezel-less, but the Essential is so much more than bezel-less. And I feel like at least while we haven't actually seen it and we haven't got to play with it, I get the sense that it's going to be a very simple OS without much bloat on there. So maybe it's a contender. Who knows? But I feel like Mike maybe needs to step back and breathe a little and – identify what's important to him.
Buy the jelly phone. Then you just have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should be getting mine soon, by the way.
I can't wait.
Yeah. I'm hoping I was in the first shipment batch. I know that they started shipping them. So we'll have that on the show for sure. And then Patrick, who's asking, is Google going to go all in on the Pixel? Are they going to keep towing the line of not stepping on the toes of other OEMs and their skins overlays? I don't know. I think to some degree it works.
Why would you step on a business that works?
Yeah, but I don't even know if that's what they're doing though. Like, I don't know if they're like not doing a fancy whiz bang overlay UI skin because that's what, you know, Samsung is doing or HTC is doing or whatnot. I think they're just saying, hey, listen, this is Android, is this design, this is the base, this is what we use, this is what we think you should use. You know, I think it's more like, you know, it's a minimalist design versus a, you know, loaded with bells and whistles. Like, they're just keeping it very plain. I don't think it's because they're afraid of stepping on toes. I think it's a conscious decision.
Could get just a Moto E.
The Moto,
Moto
E?
G.
Is it listen, Moto? I'm sure you can still find a Nexus 5 out there on Amazon or something.
Oh, you definitely can.
That was a great phone. It was a good phone.
It's just not the same anymore, Ron.
It's just not the same.
No, it's just not the same anymore. It had its time. It's time.
I feel like now 300. By the way, this is our 330th episode. That's, I feel like that's a milestone. But 330 episodes in, we should make like the phone Hall of Fame, or like we should bestow an award on the phones that deserve memory. Yeah. And I would submit the Nexus 5 as the first entry to that, because I feel like the Nexus 5 was just like as close to one of the best phones that we've had in our five, six years of Android.
Certainly one of the more endearing phones for the fans of this show, I would say. It's one of the phones that we've heard the most of from people. And I would agree. I loved it.
We do need a vault, by the way. We got to put this in order someday.
Yeah. Have some sort of a display that every time we do an episode, it's back there on the shelf.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that I feel like the three of us have to unanimously vote in order for it to get in. You know, like so like you might suggest, like Flo might suggest the Samsung S7 or whatever, and I'll say, and I'm going to thumbs down it, so Samsung won't be in the Hall of Fame. So,
yeah. Should we also have the like trash can of fame or like the worst phones?
The dumpster fire?
And that'll be just burning in the corner, and it'll have a Fire Phone in there.
Yep. Yep. Good idea.
All right, good. All right, kind of along these lines is the next email, and that's the one you got, Flo.
Yes.
Kind of hard to find because it's below.
Yeah. I have this thing is the worst trackpad. Looking for a new phone for my wife, who is currently using a OnePlus One, not holding a charge for much more than 4 to 6 a day.
Oof.
Makes sense. I'm currently using an Axon 7, and I like it. Pictures can be a hit or miss with it. And like it. Pictures can be a hit. I messed that up. Sorry, y'all. I have been thinking of getting an Axon 7 for her. Newegg price is now $370, but thinking it might go down more when the Axon 8 comes out. I like that you get a case and screen protectors for it. So, give me some suggestions. Android, under $400. Best camera for under $400.
Yeah. So
this is from Gary. Thank you, Gary.
And we were kind of chatting about on Allo, and I have it right here, kind of some of the stuff. The Moto E4 Plus.
Yeah. So that was the one that I had in my hand when I wrote that to you. And that's like, under, I mean, it's got like 13 megapixel camera, so it's not like the best. So if you're looking for a replacement camera or something, you know, then maybe this price point, maybe you need to go a little higher.
400, yeah, is kind of a challenge.
And you can do like, I mentioned you could do the LG G6 for about 500 even on Amazon, certain colors unlocked, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, you know, Wake County actually has a good point, because I remember with the Honor 8, I actually really did like the camera for under $400 on the Honor 8.
Oh, well, yeah, and so the Honor 9 is out now, and this is...
Is that also 400?
Well, it's 520 or something on Amazon, but... I think you might be able to find like a 480 or something like
that
listing. And that's the new one.
I mean, yeah, I think that's the challenge, is that it seems like the higher level, higher quality cameras, the majority of them are coming out on the premium smartphones. Seems like the Samsung Galaxy and the Pixel.
But you can still get a 16 megapixel camera on a Moto G.
You can, but megapixel is part of it, the equation. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Megapixel is one thing, but... How, you know, what
sensor.
Yeah, what is the sensor? What is the low light performance? All that kind of stuff. And all of those Venn diagrams cross when you get into the premium smartphones. When you start getting below $400, you may get one piece of the puzzle, but you don't get them all. And so then you're just looking for the best of that category. And yeah, I think Honor 8, personally, I think that's a great pick. I remember being pretty happy with that. And that's definitely less.
But we just said we don't like Huawei's UI. And so you will have to contend with that.
But that was a different person. So if you're okay with Huawei's UI,
you can always put on a Pixel launcher. I have a Pixel launcher on here. Mm-hmm. And it looks fine.
That's the beauty of installing launchers.
It looks fine. You still have to deal with like the button sizes, but you know.
Yeah, and if you go into your notifications and stuff, you'll see there that things look a little different.
Not too bad.
There's the settings.
Eye comfort, night mode. There's a hotspot. Everything is here. You can do this little ditty.
Yeah.
It's not that bad, it's a little different,
but it's also a little the same.
This stuff here is just stuff I've installed. So yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I hope that helps. Gary Buss. All right, Ron, you got the last one.
All right. Last email coming up is from Chuck, who writes in and says, we all heard that when the Samsung Galaxy S8 was announced that it would be spoofed by a photograph, but that was one incident and no one has backed it up since. I believe it was a publicity stunt and the person doing it trained the iris scanner in the first place. Wow, conspiracy theory from Chuck. We were all sucked in by this scam. But today, and this is a few days ago actually when he wrote this, Bank of America has said they will let users sign onto their B of A account using the iris scanner. I've been a B of A customer for many years. I know they are ultra conservative with regard to security. If B of A is backing the iris scanner, then I believe they've done their homework and it's safe to use. So this is interesting because he is correct that Bank of America is working with Samsung to enable login to their app via the iris scanner. It is a contained pilot program. It is not like a massive rollout, and it's part of Bank of America's digital security and digital kind of interface team testing different interfaces to log into apps. Like they want to see if users want this or not. So they're going to enable it for S8 customers for a select group in this pilot group and see what the data looks like and then see if this is something they want to roll out widespread. And so I agree with Chuck that Bank of America wouldn't do this unless they believe that it has improved since the last go round. But also, this isn't like a massive like adoption. This is a pilot. So good on B of A to be someone innovative and try new things. But yeah, so
they have fingerprint unlock, so you can check your bank account.
Yeah, which I love. I love that. I just used that earlier. But fingerprint unlock seems to be fairly trusted now, where iris scanner there's a lot of questions about. So
it's true.
Awesome stuff. All right. Thank you for sending in all that feedback. Always great. AAA@twit.tv if you want to get your email or your video mail or whatever.
Always.
Read and play it on the show. We'd be happy to do that. We love what you guys have to say.
Always.
All right. Let's take a minute and thank the sponsor of today's episode, and then we'll get into the arena. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. I've been a LegalZoom customer for years, since well before I worked here at Twit. And right now it's National Make a Will Month at LegalZoom. That's actually how I started with LegalZoom years ago. We made our will shortly after our first daughter was born. This means that it's time to take control of your family and your assets. Preparing for your family's future is the most important thing you'll do this summer. Sure, there's a lot to think about, but that's why LegalZoom created an estate planning kit to get you going. Go to LegalZoom.com/prepare and you'll get your free kit. You'll receive helpful information and LegalZoom discounts. All of the things that you need to stop procrastinating and to start preparing for your family's future. You know it's important. You just got to kick off the process and get it started. LegalZoom designed this kit to provide the tools you need all in one place. Whether a will or a trust is right for you, you'll get special LegalZoom discounts, plus an estate plan checklist, an ebook, and other information to help you decide. LegalZoom is not a law firm. If you have any questions, you can always get advice from their network of attorneys available in all 50 states. And like I said, it's important. This stuff is important, especially if you have a family. You need to make the planning. It's easy to put it off. And I think the challenge for us before we went with LegalZoom was that we didn't understand the process. It seemed overwhelming. It seemed big, like a big process for us. And it turned out when we hopped on the LegalZoom train, it was actually really straightforward. And this kit is going to make it even more straightforward for you. Go to LegalZoom.com/prepare today. There's no obligation, just great resources to help you protect everything you care about during National Make-A-Will Month. That's LegalZoom.com/prepare. And we thank LegalZoom for their support. All right, and with that, it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
And once again, for our audio listeners, at the beginning of that, Jason was pretending to be riding a motorcycle. and that's what that noise was before we got the arena theme song. So,
I don't know. I was at a stick shift. It was there.
Oh, it was a stick shift? I thought you were motorcycling, but you're stick shifting.
It really could have been either way. I don't know what I don't know what that was, and I'm sorry for everyone for that.
All right. So last week.
Let's see here.
How did we do last week?
Let's take a look at last week's poll. The results are in. That's right. Late-breaking results are in, and it appears Futurama, Worlds of Tomorrow, that was Brian's pick at 49%.
Oh, was the guests. Really? I think we just shouldn't have guests anymore.
Well, yeah.
Don't have guests.
Ever.
Yeah. Wait a minute. How do we...
Hold that thought until we go through, but finish the rest of it, Jason.
USB Type-C simulator, 41% second place. And, big surprise, baby name did not win.
25 people really found that helpful, by the way.
All right. Hey, if I
reached... 25 people are having babies in need of help.
If I reached only 25 people with that baby app, that kind of works like Tinder, then I've done my job.
That baby app that kind of works like Tinder, no context.
I did think it was kind of odd when I was watching the show. I'm like, that's a unique app. But so the impact of last week's arena, big shake up to the standings.
Oh, no.
What we've got is Florence is still in last place with 77 points.
You can
Jason,
do this.
You're in third place with 79 points. But I have dropped to second place with 83 points. This is what happens when you miss a show.
Yep.
And the guests are now in first place with 88 points. An important stat, thank you to Wade County in the chat room for pointing this out. It's like the Elias Sports Bureau for All About Android Arenas. Guests have won the last four arenas in a row.
Wow. I told you, we need to stop having guests.
So that the good news is that streak ends tonight.
That stops today. And I promise you, not intentional at all. It just is the way it is. Yes. But I hope you had a good run. I hope you feel really good about yourself.
Until guests. Chris Lacy comes back next week and inevitably wins the show.
Yeah, totally. All right, so I'm the returning loser, so I'm going to go. Mine is actually
yourself a loser.
Oh, yeah, don't.
Well, it's okay. I'm not that kind of loser. I just lost the arena.
Anyway, keep going.
Different. Vista Golf. Vista Golf is a quick little game. Well, I don't know if it's very quick, and I'm going to turn it down because it kind of sounds like it might be a little loud. It's a cool little game. Like, I don't know. I've always liked video golf, and especially like golf around, like, you know, kind of has the old school. What is the word that I'm looking for? Miniature golf. That has the miniature mini golf kind of aesthetic going on. And Vista Golf, as far as I can tell, is completely free. So you pull the ball, you can give it up to 100, and you can bounce off the walls and everything. And you try and navigate through. You've got your number of pars, and you know, on some levels there's kind of hills that'll allow you to kind of hop over obstacles and everything like this. Might be kind of a hard game for me to illustrate while I'm talking because some of these levels are actually really difficult. But let's see if I go out. If I go, can I go out? Can I go to an old level?
Old hole? No.
Here, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home and new and go to a new one. So you've got all these different courses, three different courses that you can go into, different scenarios. I like the visual kind of feel of the game. Feels, you know, like everything kind of rises out of the water. And I don't know, it's just got a good visual quality to it. You can pinch in to make things a little bit bigger. You can rotate around and you pull and you let go. Yeah, I feel like I needed more. Wow, I'm really bad at this game. Anyways, if you like miniature golf, mini golf, and you want to play a game that's completely free and just has a lot of levels that you can hit putt your way around in, check out Vista Golf. It also has a competitive mode, by the way. Every week they have a competition, 18-hole courses. You can fight for the top spot, and at the end of every week, three leaders are apparently crowned and new courses are opened at that point. So it has expandability from there. It's called Vista Golf, and it's a fun little game. You should check it out.
This actually reminds me, like, oh, geez, like 6 or 7 years ago, I was at a job that had lots of boring conference calls, And I used to play in a browser mini golf game while I was on these calls. A lot of fun. Mini golf is a lot of fun in this format.
So yeah, it works in this format. That's the thing about mini golf. It's fun to do in real life. And
it's a great first date for any teens out
there. Yeah, it is.
Vista Golf is a wonderful first date.
It is.
Download the app, invite your date over, and play it on your smartphone. See?
Millennials.
See? Yeah, millennials.
There it is. Millennials.
All right, Ron, you're up next.
All right. Up next is an alarm clock app, which I wasn't looking for, but I found it. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's called Clockwise Smart Alarm. And what it does is it utilizes the text-to-speech functions and allows you to create alarm clocks that the alarm actually is a voice giving you information. So very similar to the morning briefing from a Google Home or an Amazon Alexa type thing. An Amazon Echo type thing.
Nice job, Ron.
So what you can do is you can set an alarm and you tell it, you know, kind of what day of the month and all that sort of stuff that you want to, what day of the week and what time you want it to go through. And you can name it, you can change the tone of the alarm and things like that. So if you save that, it's fine. It's just standard alarm clock kind of stuff. Okay. And you hit save. All right. And so then if you tap on that on that one. So now what you can do is once you set the alarm clock, as Jason has here, that big plus button allows you to add modules. And what you do is that these modules are different information that you can have the alarm read once after it goes off. And so what's just really great is that you can get the weather in your area. You can get and there's all different options. You have the current temperature, what the high will be, what the a description of the weather, that sort of thing. So you can save on that. And then you can get a bunch of news items where you can get, you know, a news briefing from different categories ranging from top news to sports to technology and that sort of thing. And you could say, how many do you want? You can have it read the top five stories, top three stories. You could also get a feed from Reddit, which I thought was really interesting. It's the second one there under there. You can choose the subreddit that you want to get and choose how many top stories it will be, and it will read off the headlines or the main links from your subreddit of your choice. Just really kind of clever and interesting kind of sources for data. You can also choose to get tweets from specific users. So if you want to wake up and know what that horrible person said, you can put in their Twitter name and find out. I don't know why you want to wake up with that. Maybe something more uplifting. But yeah, there's just a bunch of different really cool kind of things. And then when the alarm goes off, a voice reads it back to you, which is pretty cool. And they've also got cool kind of stuff like a fact of the day and this day in history and things like that. So if you're the type to kind of sit in your bed and not want to get out after your alarm goes off, this could be a good way to get kind of updated on the world in the process. So
my daily life.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Maybe you want to set the alarm to go off and at 7:54 p.m.
Tuesday.
There it is. Yeah. So
okay. So
and now we vamp while we wait for the time to go. Yeah. So
okay. So now 7:54 p.m. on
it's
Tuesday.
On, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do that just to be sure. And we'll, you know, take a look at this beautiful. Oh,
I know. Is it?
7:54 happened.
Oh, change it to 55.
Oh, you know what? Look, I have it off.
Oh, there
oh man.
Good
okay.
Job,
tell me
Jason.
Something else that's really. I don't know. So that's not.
So flip it on. Yeah,
there you go. Clockwise set for 1 minute from now. Actually, probably more like 50 seconds. So tell me something I don't already know.
I thought this was interesting because it's kind of material design-esque. Mm-hmm. But also has this kind of custom UI kind of with the sliders and these little boxes and things like that. You do get a sense of depth with them. You see how like the weather widget is under the plus button, right? Like you get that sense of depth to it mm-hmm. in terms of the design. I was just impressed by it. It was like an interesting interface, one that I really haven't seen before. So, you know, really interesting alarm clock, different approach to it. I like the idea of customizable data news sources that you can specify. And it's hard to vamp for a minute straight by yourself.
So. And Victor's doing a great job hopping between.
Yes, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Is it going?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so then I would go close, right?
Yep.
Oh, click play.
Clockwise is collecting your module info. Please wait 1 moment.
Okay.
You hold it to the mic.
65 degrees. The high today will be 65 degrees. Here are the top news stories from technology. These texts show Uber's Travis Kalanick and Otto's Anthony Levinovsky plotting a press blitz. Code. Here are the top
news stories.
That's really cool. That's what I want to wake up to every morning.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is, but you can change the voice too in the settings. There are different voice settings. So,
is there a British man? There might be a British man.
Let's find out.
Is there a British man?
You can go back to, can you turn it? Because I can't really see because you're tilting. Yeah, there you go.
Sorry.
Go back and let's create a new alarm. Options. You going to hit options, maybe? It is ad-based. It's free in the Google Play Store. You can pay a $99 in-app purchase to turn the ads off if you want. So I saw a place where you can choose the voice. I might have dreamt that. Yeah, let me check on my phone.
In here.
It's possible. I dream about apps, too, actually, that I use throughout the day.
Oops. Cool.
So I thought you could change the voice. Maybe I misread that.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, no. Yes, I found it. I found it. Okay. On that screen, hit the gear button.
Oh, voice. U.S. All right, female, and that is voice. British man. Yeah.
British man.
Yep. There it is. So you can check, Indian female, Australian, British, U.S., Welsh. There's a Welsh male.
Hello, this is Dame Judi Dench.
This Hello. Is clockwise.
There it is.
This is
so cool.
Okay.
So clockwise smart alarm. Pretty cool. Check it out.
That's great. I love it. Wake up and have your phone be loaded with a bunch of information to talk to you about. Fantastic stuff. Clockwise smart alarm. All right, Flo, you're up.
Well, guess what's back in style, y'all?
What?
Cinemagrams.
It was ever out of style? Actually, I'm asking because I don't actually know.
Apparently, they were out of style. I don't know. They're back in style now. I just keep seeing Cinemagrams pop up in the Play Store. Like, Flo, download this now. So I downloaded one. It was called Loopsy. It's a living photo, and it's super easy to make.
Cool.
Here is a picture of me that I took while Jason was talking about some apps.
That is a picture of you, yes.
I took this as a video of sorts. So I'm going to animate this. So the way I'm going to animate it is I am going to highlight the area around my eye where the motion was. And... That's the Cinemagraph.
That's disturbing. That is disturbing.
I wonder if this works.
So I don't understand what's happening here.
It's turning it into a GIF. And so now we're going to export that.
But how is it animating those parts?
So it took the video and then it's stabilized. So it was stabilized while I took the video, which is part of the reason that this app, that's how it tries to differentiate itself. It's say, we're going to stabilize this video. So stabilizes the video, and then you sort of select like the parts of the photo that you would like to have animated.
That is so weird.
You can easily save it. If you want to take away the watermark, pay $1.99, support your app developers. This stuff costs money to do. Or you can do, I'm not entirely sure what freeze means. So I'm still trying to figure that one out.
That is crazy looking.
Yeah, it's super easy to make.
So it takes a frame of the video.
So here, I'll make one.
Still. Okay.
All right, so I crossed my eyes.
Don't do that for too long. Your eyes will lock that way.
I do that a lot as a child. It is now stabilizing, and while it's stabilizing, it will show you the tags that you can look at on Instagram to see people who have made similar ones.
Completed. Tap to begin.
Okay, so now it's completed. So here's the photo as is.
Okay.
And now I'm going to highlight. And now it's just me.
Oh, that is so weird looking. Do the other eyeball.
No, I only want to do one eye. Oh, that's what I'm going to post to Instagram tonight.
That's straight up freaky.
It's really crazy. I love it.
And then the freeze one, I think, lets you basically remove it. There we go. That's what it does.
Oh, okay.
So the freeze one lets you go back in and remove there we go. So that's all that this app does.
That's all it needs to do.
That's all it needs to do.
Straight up freaky.
Yeah. You could play it back if you need to show it off. So yeah, Loopsy free or $1.99 to take away Z watermark.
Yes, Wade County, you're right. I do love weird face apps. You're right. It's you kind of my thing. Anytime it's a weird face app, you got
but
my
But you can use this on anything. You don't have to use this on a face. Yeah. You can use this, like, for instance, if you have the fan just, like, subtly hitting your hair and blowing it in the wind.
Yeah.
And then you would just, you know, highlight the area of your hair just blowing, but then your face is like this, you know, glamour shot.
That's how I would use it.
So that's how you would use Loopsy. Get to it. Download it, people.
And share what you create by emailing AAA@twit.tv.
Yes.
Okay, place your vote. twit.to/AAApoll330. twit.to/AAApoll330. Is it Vista Golf, Clockwise Smart Alarm, or Loopsy? You can place your vote. We'll check in on it next week. I tell you one thing for sure. Guest ain't winning this week. Because we had no guest. But we will next week. And it's very possible that our guest will win then.
Wait, Victor, who'd you vote for? Loopsy. Yay, thanks, Victor.
He voted for Loopsy.
Thanks.
Getting an early lead there, Loopsy, at 67%.
Although, well, never mind.
Okay. All right, that's it for this week. We've reached the end. We've gone a little long. Thank you for sticking with it. And Ron, thank you for sacrificing pretty much your entire evening and almost the morning for this episode of All About Android.
In New York City, the city never sleeps.
That's true.
Or is that Reno?
That's actually a myth. It is called the city that never sleeps. But I remember in 1994, I was wandering the streets of Manhattan at like 4 a.m. and there was just nobody around. It was asleep. So that's how I learned.
That sounds actually kind of creepy. Yeah.
It was actually
you
really.
Asleep.
I was in Midtown Manhattan because I was taking the bus back. Actually, this must have been like 95, 96. I was taking the bus back from college and we got a flat tire on the way down. And so the bus was supposed to get in at like 10 or 11 and it ended up getting in at like 3 or 4 and dropped us off at like 41st and 7th or something like that. And there's just Midtown. There's just nobody around. And of course, this is 20 years ago. Maybe that's not just how it is now, but yeah, city does sleep. And I'm tired because I was in San Francisco yesterday and now I'm in New York. And so those hours are adding up.
Well, Ron, you have earned your sleep in the city.
Yes, I have.
Now, yep. What do you want people to know, man?
Go to follow me at RonXO on Twitter. You can find me posting about all my nonsense, but mainly go listen to my other podcasts. If you have the time or the inclination, you can go to ifanboy.com. We're talking about comic books and comic book TV shows and movies. We're going to be reviewing The Defenders, the new Netflix TV show that's coming out this weekend. So that's going to be exciting. And then check out Damn Fine Podcast over at damnfinepodcast.com, where me and Tom Merritt are analyzing Twin Peaks, and we've only got 3 episodes left. So yeah, go to damnfinepodcast.com and check all that fun stuff out. So.
Right at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
There it is. Damn Fine Podcast.
There it is.
Catch it at the end and then go back to the beginning and catch all of them.
Yep. Exactly.
Thanks, man. Sorry. Yep. It ended up being a little late, but you're going to get some sleep. You're going to sleep well tonight. What about you, Flo?
Well, maybe Ron can do what I do every day and that's just sleep in because hashtag freelance life.
I wish.
Listen, I don't. Anyway, I need to stop making these jokes. You can find me on the internet at florenceion.com, on Twitter at othatflo. I'm just kind of hanging around different places. You see me at PC World now.
You're moving. You're shaking.
See me at Android Central. You'll see me other places. You'll see me some other places. Just check back here next week. I'll tell you more.
All right. I'm curious to know. Victor, what about you, sir?
Huh?
Where can people follow you?
I don't really have any anything I put out there, but
all right.
I just wanted to say if you do a Hall of Fame thing and Ron's not going to vote for Samsung, is that going to make Samsung like the Barry Bonds out of
yes, the Hall of Fame? Yeah, that's thing? A good point.
Or the Mark McGuire or something like that, you know?
No, I want to retract that statement. I'm not going to not vote for Samsung all the time. I was just using it as a joke. But
you have to vote for the Galaxy Nexus because that was one of those.
The Galaxy Nexus is a good phone. I will admit I recently saw a friend of mine got an S8, and I will say it's a nice piece of hardware. It is very nice. I'll give them that credit.
It is indeed.
Well, thank you, Victor. Appreciate your help today. And you can find me at jasonhowell.net, yellowgoldmusic.com. That's really about it for now. And that is it for this week. We really appreciate you guys joining us each and every week. It's always a lot of fun. You can leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us email or video mail at AAA@twit.tv and be part of our feedback section. Twitter, we are at Android Show. We have a subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, really anywhere that you're going to find podcasts, you'll find us. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting around 5:30 p.m. Pacific, usually, at twit.tv/live. We hope that you do. It's always a lot of fun when we have you guys in the chat room. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Wow, we got here early. What are we going to do with our extra time?